Hey guys, editor here. I just wanted to let you know that we recorded this before we got the new intro, which you're about to hear. And I was so excited about it, I wanted to put it in before the boys could give the proper thanks to John that he deserves. So a big shout out to John Garbutt for this new beginning. I hope you guys like it, and the boys will give you a proper thank you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
Made sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 44, Reggie Jackson's old number.
Yes, sir.
Of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. You can follow us on Twitter and YouTube at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable WFP. You can also go on and DM us, let us know if you would like a hashtag FigLife t-shirt. We will set you up. We will get everything all squared away and all the shipping taken care of. Just let us know. It makes a great Christmas gift, Scott.
It does. The Fig Life shirt is the hottest gift this Christmas. Don't believe what you've heard about that little Nintendo console. No, no, no. The Fig Life, hashtag Fig Life, Fully Posable podcast shirt is the hottest gift this Christmas.
Allegedly.
Supposedly.
You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. That helps us out immensely. You can email us any questions, comments, wish lists, interviews, whatever you like, to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. And Scott, this week I am stepping up to the mic, and I am telling you right now I'm going to make you really disappointed.
Dude, you crapped the bed last week. You're going to do it again this week too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just, you know there's a gun being held to the WFP segment now.
You know what? I'm actually not writing down any more names. I'm just letting it slide right now. It's just the downward spiral, you know?
Oh, wow. We're at the winging it stage now of the WFP.
Yeah. I'm just chasing the dragon right now, dude.
It's a sad day, folks.
So, like my 37 years in existence, and as you have known me, I am making you even more disappointed in me.
And here, I didn't think that was possible, but let's see.
So, Scott, again, that's Fully Posable. W as in NWO. Yep.
Okay.
F as in Four Horsemen.
I see you're going factions this week. I smell what you're cooking.
Actually, I'm not. And P as in Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad. I'm not pulling the trigger on the segment yet.
Wait till next week.
Yet. Yeah, we'll see how next week goes. Every week, that ice that you're skating on gets a little bit thinner.
Boy, this ice is like super thin right now, dude.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes. At gmail.com. Scott, did you do any toy spotting this past week?
You know what? I did zero toy spotting again this week. I haven't really been out and about too much to do any. So I haven't really looked. I've been searching online a little bit, just kind of seeing deals on figures, looking at Amazon and Toys R Us and whatnot. But no, I have not checked out any toy stores or retail shops, anything like that. So no toy spotting. So hopefully you have news to save this segment.
I have a little bit of news. I
Oh, good.
Walked into an indie show on Friday night. And as I walk in, directly to my right is a person selling wrestling figures.
Oh, whoa. At APW?
At All Pro Wrestling. He was selling wrestling figures. And it's funny, too, because when I walk in, I look immediately to my right and I see the wrestling figures and I look up at their sign that they have behind them. And it says you can follow us on Instagram at @elite_collector. And okay. I was like, why does that name sound familiar? Well, I've actually promoted them on the podcast from their Facebook page.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Actually, I shouldn't say Facebook page. Their Facebook profile, I guess you could say. They actually take still shots of wrestling figures. And I've always admired their work on still shots. Like Matthew Goldberg, I like their stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk in and the sign says you can follow us, @elite_collector, on Instagram. And underneath it says #figlife on their sign.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you get a picture?
No, I didn't, unfortunately. I am wearing my #figlife t-shirt to the show. So it was meant to be.
Nice. Did you get into a conversation with the guy?
I did at the end of the show. I was like, I said something to him and I was like, I'm Jeff from the Fully Opposable podcast. He goes, yeah, I know who you are. I was like, oh, cool. You know, it was kind of cool. We conversed a little bit before we left. It was a pleasure meeting him. They had a lot of figures for sale. They had the Elite Seth. They had the horrible Sasha Banks. They had a lot of loose figures. Actually, they had the Loose Crow Sting, the Defining Moment.
Oh, the Defining Moment?
I was going to pick it up because I thought, oh, that's cool. I don't have it loose. I always keep my stuff carded. And I was like, that's kind of cool. I'm going to pick that up. And as I look to my left, somebody is picking it up to buy it. And I was like, nah.
Oh.
And then Saturday, we went to Walmart. And I was walking in and I was really hoping they had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures.
Yep.
They did not.
Oh, okay.
And of course, like our Walmart here lately, nothing on the pegs.
Oh, Walmart holding up their fine tradition of having crap.
crap, more crap.
Yep.
So, Scott, what do you think we get into that news?
Yep, let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
So, Scott, for the news this week, WWE.com just leaked something.
Yes.
They leaked some great news for you and I.
Yes, for all of us figure collectors in the Fig Life.
#FigLife. Buy the shirt. So next year, 2017, so far, two of the defining moments were already shown. Flair and Nakamura.
Yep.
WWE.com let out a little Easter egg and mentioned that there was going to be a WrestleMania 3 Macho Man. Scott, would you like to go into the excitement of that?
You know, just when you thought that 2016, man, what a garbage year. A lot of bad stuff gone down in 2016. What a way to end it, man. That's just like a huge exclamation point, a huge star at the end of 2016 that we're finally going to get that WrestleMania 3 Macho Man that I hope comes in the robe like they've done with Flair so many times. Macho Man in the robe with the bandana, with the sunglasses, with the IC belt. Dude, this is fantastic news. I hope they do the figure justice, and I'm sure that they will.
Yeah, it's not the robe I was hoping for, but hey, beggars can't be choosers, right, dude?
Well, you know, and I'm sure this one is going to sell really well. It's not going to sit around like that Ultimate Warrior, Ultimate Maniacs defining moment. If this one does really well, I can almost guarantee there's going to be more Macho Mans coming out in that robe. So you might get that Macho Man you've been waiting for, but this is a hell of a start.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so stoked for this figure, man. Great excitement was brought upon me last Friday with this announcement. So for the fourth defining moment, WWE.com put up a poll. And for that poll, you can vote on the next defining moment. Let me go down the list for you. It will be Rock from his WrestleMania 32. Does that mean that he's going to come with a flamethrower?
I would guess that's the accessory. Either that or I'll come with an Eric Rowan.
or a Cena 2-pack, I guess.
Or a Cena, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I'm hoping for the flamethrower. I mean, that might cause some damage to some homes.
I'm actually hoping the figure doesn't get released.
But I mean, if Samsung Note 7 can be released, why not a flamethrower, right?
Good point.
Thank you. The other that you could vote on is the Shawn Michaels Rockers outfit.
Okay. So let me go on record and state that if they make a Shawn Michaels in his Rockers outfit, they'd better follow up with the next defining moments being a Marty Jannetty in his Rockers outfit. or all of us Fig Life wrestling figure collectors, our OCD is going to go into overdrive.
But they've already made the Rockers. We don't need another Rocker. Now, if you did Midnight Rockers, but then again, you need the Marty Jannetty.
Yes, you cannot have one without the other. So, yeah, I'm already against the Shawn Michaels. What I'm hoping is that they throw him into a two-pack.
Yes, and hopefully Midnight Rockers. Not, I've already had the Rockers from Matty Collector. That was their very first offering, I believe it
was. Yeah, and we also have them from Jax. Which, spoiler alert, we might be talking about them a little bit later.
Yep. Also, up on the poll, again, you can go onto WWE.com and find these and you can vote. We've already mentioned Rock from WrestleMania 32, Shawn Michaels in the Rockers. Dude Love from his Raw debut. It is a defining moment.
It is, but you weren't a big Dude Love guy, so I can't see you being super excited about this.
Yeah, I know that there are people that are excited about it, but I don't know. It just doesn't tickle my fancy.
And if you're not tickled, damn it, they're not making that figure.
The other was Roddy Piper 92 Rumble, where he won the IC belt.
Yep.
Okay, that's not bad.
No, it's not, but there's already a Roddy Piper Hall of Fame figure coming out. With kilt, with hot rod shirt. So,
yes.
You put the IC title with them? Okay.
Yeah. The other one that was also on the poll was the Chris Jericho from his WWE Vengeance when he beat Rock and Steve Austin, as he likes to tell everyone. He beat Rock and Steve Austin in the same night.
I think that would be a beautiful defining moments figure.
That, I hope, wins.
Yeah, that's the way I'm leaning as well. That would get my vote right now.
Yep. Scott, FTC news, what you got?
So FTC revealed this week that the next entrant in their Legends line is Jerry Lynn, former ECW competitor, ROH world champion. He is getting an FTC figure, so this is great news.
I'm actually excited about this figure, dude.
All of his matches that were so memorable with RVD, I mean, they had one of the greatest feuds ever in ECW history. Great to see Jerry Lynn getting the FTC treatment. You know they're going to do him and his outfits justice. So I can't wait for this figure. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. Let's not skip over his ROH time, too. He also did really well. Actually, I think this was before your ROH time.
It was before mine, yes.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see it. As of right now, I'm leaning towards getting it.
Oh yeah, for sure. He's on the list, dude.
Uh-oh. He's on the list.
You know what, Jerry Lynn? You just made the list.
Scott, we actually got a question regarding FTC lines from our Twitter. It comes from MS Aaron Quinn. Curious if you would discuss on the show, why do you think the reaction to FTC line has been so divisive?
A lot of the complaints that I've heard or read have been because people think that they're Jack's throwaway parts. Like, there was a huge dumpster full of Jack's parts. FTC found it and started assembling figures, which isn't the case. People are complaining about the sculpts of the figures, which you and I have had discussions about a couple of them that you weren't totally keen on. Mark Briscoe, namely, and Brian Myers.
Right.
I'm not sure. And people have said, oh, you should have let the Jax line die. I think it's because of the similarity to the Jax figures that they wanted something different. But me personally, I like that they're in scale with the Mattel figures. And with the old Jax figures, if you want to put them up with those guys, they're all of the same scale pretty much. So if you want to start having fantasy warfare with your figures, you can totally do that. I don't get the hatred that they would be Jax parts. I mean, FTC still has to manufacture them. Uh-huh. So to be honest, I really don't know. Aside from the Jax reason, I really don't know why people are so anti-FTC figures. My standpoint, I love it, and I've said it before, I love it. I love that they're bringing out figures of guys that I've wanted to see for the past 5-6 years. They're bringing Legends figures back. I'm a big fan of what they're doing, so I really don't get the hate for them. I do understand people's points on some of the head sculpts. I see what they're saying. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I can see what they're saying. But yeah, it's confusing to me. I'm just excited to have more wrestling figures.
My view is that Mattel has kind of warped people into thinking that they're the greatest. And I'm not going to take anything away from Mattel because they have come out with some terrific figures. But everybody looks at Mattel's and they're like, those are perfect. Well, not all of them are perfect. I haven't seen one good Charlotte figure. I know that.
Well, yeah. And I mean, we can talk about Sasha Banks. We can talk about Becky Lynch. There have been a few misses, you know. So people want to talk about FTC and their misses. Well, Mattel's had at least 5 to 6 times more than FTC on the miss chart. So again, yeah, of course it goes to volume because Mattel is pumping out a ton more figures than FTC is. I would definitely not say that Mattel is superior to FTC. I guess it comes down to a matter of taste. You know, with FTC, you're getting mostly all cloth accessories, as far as clothing and whatnot. With Mattel, it's all molded stuff for the most part. I really just don't get the hate. You know, if you don't like it, don't buy it. That's fine. But, you know, you don't need to go on tirades against them.
Yeah. I was watching a Jordan Cassatt's video, and he did not like the AJ Styles figure that he got in the Wrestle Crate.
Did not like it?
He did okay. Not. And Jordan Cassatt doesn't like FTC figures. No, we already know this. So there were some points that he made in his video that I agree with. Is the price too high? Yeah, I agree with that. I do. But he also said that it was cheap plastic. Now, that I don't agree with. I absolutely do not agree with this. He made a comment that Jax back in 2007, 2008, 2006 with their Ruthless Aggression line, those were $7 to $14 figures. Well, Jax is a huge company.
Right.
Jax can roll out 8,000 Kurt Hawken figures or 8,000 Evan Bourne figures. FTC, everything is hand sculpted. You know, there is no face scan. Again, we've reiterated this on the podcast. There is no face scan. This is all hand sculpted. So I don't want to say give them a break, but I mean, that's impressive in my eyes is that if there is somebody hand sculpting these figures, mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Yeah. And I think too, with the people that really, really do not like FTC, I think the best approach isn't to just blast them, but to pull more of a wait and see, you know, give them another year or so. Because really, right now, so far, they've only released the ROH ring that came with Elgin, ROH Series 1, and the AJ Styles figure, right? That's it. So 6 figures in all. Play the wait-and-see approach. Where are they going to be in another year from now? They've got a lot more figures coming out. We'll see what all the finished products look like very soon. Wait and see. You know, if you still don't like it, then, you know, to each their own. Everybody's going to have an opinion on everything. But from my standpoint and from my point of view, I'm just excited to have wrestling figures of guys that have never had figures before or some guys that haven't had figures in ages. That's where my excitement stems. Just because I don't just love WWE, I love a ton of different federations. So I'm excited to have figures from all across the board and not just WWE. Or I should say, to go along with my WWE, because I still love the Mattel line as well.
Yeah, I'm still buying Mattels. I mean, I'm not pulling my money away from Mattels. I mean, there are some figures that, you know, I would be like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to get this one because there's an FTC figure. There are some figures that I do that because I'm like, well, the Young Bucks are coming out. So where I might have gotten an Elite Tugboat before, I don't think I'm going to be getting the Tugboat because I still have that Young Bucks in the back of my head that I can't wait for.
Exactly. Exactly. But to the people that really dislike the FTC line, I would say just wait and see. You know, evaluate them again in a year. You know, Jax wasn't hitting home runs right out of the box. Mattel sure as heck wasn't hitting home runs right out of the box. I feel that FTC is doing a really good job so far, and I think they're only going to get better. And
yeah, and we still like Mattel's. I mean, it's not like we're turning our back on Mattel and saying Mattel sucked. You know, the AJ figure didn't wow me and FTC's AJ figure did wow me. Okay, that's fine. But their Asuka figure wowed me. Their Defining Moment Nakamura wowed me.
Yes, absolutely. The Tatanka and the Boogeyman, those were all wows.
Good point. But like you said, just calm down. And one thing is I know Brian Breaker said that some of the people were like, I don't like FTC figures. Okay, why? Because they're not Mattel's. Well, we don't want Mattel's, you know?
Yep. I like different.
Yeah, exactly. So to the sculptor who is working on the FTC figures, kudos to you, man. That's really hard to do. They don't have the benefit of face scan technology, nor do they have this warehouse over in China that's just pumping out all these arms, all these legs, all these whatever. And like you said, there's no dumpster.
Yeah, there's no dumpster full of Jack's parts.
I like them. The AJ figure was great. I wish they would have fixed the jacket a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, and I said that too in the unboxing. And then the post reaction on the podcast later was, yeah, the jacket, the zipper, to me was a fail, that zipper, because I still can't get that zipper to zip up. So mine is in the clamshell again, but the jacket is undone, which, you know, big deal. You know, my life is still going to go on. The earth is still going to spin. So, you know, everything's still okay, but the jacket itself, I think, needed some work. But look, again, six figures in, I don't think that's a fair assessment of the line overall. So you really have to play the wait and see, you know, get a bigger sample size of what they're going to be offering, and then pass judgment on it. You know, let's see where they are in another year, another 2 years, just like we had to do with Mattel. I mean, like I said, Mattel and Jax weren't hitting home runs right off the bat. It took Jax a long time to get really good, and it took Mattel a little bit to get really good too. So, you know, I'm willing to play the waiting game with them, but from what I've seen so far, I personally enjoy it. I do not hate the FTC line at all.
Hasbro's nailed it right off the bat.
Well, yeah, that's Hasbro's though. LJN also nailed it right off the bat, but again, that was LJN.
Yes, exactly. So I hope we answered your question, MS Aaron Quinn. So Scott, we're going to do a little side jog on our Jax Classic this week.
Yes.
Again, we're going to be hitting all your senses with this one. I hope you like it.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you say we hit the first series of two packs from Jax Classics?
Yeah, let's talk about the good stuff.
Let's do it. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. Scott, another great series from Jax Classics, the very first two packs.
Yeah, man, I remember when I first found these, how excited I was.
Where'd you find them at?
I found them at Toys R Us in Dublin.
Uh-huh.
Well, I should say, first I saw them on their website, and they were completely sold out, surprise, surprise. So then I knew I had to start hunting for them, and I made it to Toys R Us in Dublin, went out to where the Jax Classics were. They did not have the two packs, so I just happened to ask somebody, and I hadn't done that in a long time. I usually just look and then bounce if they don't have anything, but I just happened to ask somebody, hey, you know, they're making two packs in these black packaging WWF guys or WWE guys, do you have any of the two packs? And the guy's like, oh, I don't know, let me go look. And dude, sure enough, came out with a box. And in the box, I believe, now I could be wrong, but I believe there were two of each. I know there were no short packs, but I think it was two of each tag team. And I think I cleaned out the entire box. Because I had to get you LOD and Heart Foundation and the Rockers. And I got a set for myself.
Yeah, that was awesome when you picked those up. You were blowing up my phone. I remember this because you called me. I'm like, okay, what's up, dude? And you're like, dude, I have all three tag teams of Jax Classic first series. And I was like, you mean Andre and Triple H? You're like, no, tag teams. And I'm like, tag teams? And you're like, yeah, they made the Heart Foundation, LOD, and the Rockers. I was like, what? Because I didn't know.
You're like, no, they didn't.
I didn't even know about this before.
Yeah.
So anyways, after that, after you picked them up, I remember I went out to your house and went and picked them up and fell in love with them right away. Let me rewind. The Rockers two-pack was okay as far as looks, but having all three was just amazing.
Yeah. So I guess I should tell people who was in the series.
Oh, yeah. Let's do... Oh, whoops. Rockers were in it. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Rockers might be in it from what I'm about to say.
12 years later.
So the Jax Classic Series 1 two-packs consisted of three of the most popular tag teams ever. You have the Hart Foundation with Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, LOD, or the Legion of Doom, with Hawk and Animal, and the Rockers with Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. The LOD were the traditional, their first WWE run. or WWF yep. run in the black and the red, red shoulder pads. The Rockers were in their bright neon green pants, and the Hart Foundation were in their traditional black and pink outfits.
And the Rockers actually had that yellow, what was it, that yellow top that they would wear sometimes to the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, just awesome. I love all three of these equally. Obviously, my nod goes towards Legion of Doom because, you know, I've made it pretty clear how I feel about the Legion of Doom on this podcast. But
right.
all three of them just looked so good. I was so excited to get all three of these. What a great assortment to come out with in their first series of two packs. And just really going back to what defines a classic superstar. You know, grab three of the biggest tag teams from the 80s and the 90s. Just great job by Jax in selecting those three teams.
Yep. I remember also going to Dublin Toys R Us. And obviously, after you had snagged mine, I was thinking about picking up more of those packs. Yep. And I was like, no, I'm doing good saving money. At this time, I was saving money. And I was like, no, I'm doing okay saving money. And they had the Hart Foundation and they had the Rockers. They didn't have LOD. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I should pick them up. I should pick them up. I should pick them up. And I ended up passing. And to this day, I regret that. I regret not picking those up.
Well, yeah, you know what sucks too is on Craigslist, that guy was selling the Rockers for $15. And when you finally were able to get a hold of him to go pick him up, the dude had already sold them.
Yeah. I mean, well, Craigslist, but...
Well, yeah, Craigslist. And that was just like a month or 2 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. You were like, dude, this guy has the Rockers for $15. You need to go grab those.
Yeah, you need to make a drive, dude. That's a screaming deal. And, you know, unfortunately, I did have to sell off my Legion of Doom set. Fell on some hard times, probably around 2008. And I had to sell the LOD. I also had to sell my Rockers. But the Hart Foundation set, I still have... because I got that signed back in 2005 by the Hart Foundation, and it's still up on my wall.
Yep, so is mine. I love all three of those two packs. As I said, the Rockers wasn't that great, like face-wise, but just having all three of them still wows me to this day.
Yeah, and like I said earlier too, it's just a great selection of teams by Jax, what really classifies a classic superstar. Like I said, just grabbing those 80s and 90s tag teams. All three of those were at the top of their game in that era. And they couldn't have picked three better teams, I don't think.
Yeah. Brett had the pink shades on. They were in their traditional pink and black. And I remember when I got that signed at also at the same show you did.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Jim and Brett sign it. And I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Now, you didn't have Marty and Sean sign this one, right? You had them sign the Mattel.
Yeah, that was the one that my paint pen barely made it through with Marty.
Oh.
Because I got Sean signed, and that one was fine. But when I met Marty the Party back in Dallas, he just... Oh, the pen was starting to fade. He was signing. And both the guy that was handling the money and me were like... Oh, please make it through. Please make it through. And it made it through. And it's not the greatest autograph, but it's okay. It's decent.
You had to retire that paint pen after that one, huh?
Oh, I chucked that thing in the garbage in Dallas, dude. I was like, this thing sucks.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, what a good line.
Amazing. Amazing. It's one of the best assortments out there.
Oh, hands down. It's funny because I remember this one to this day, man. Like, I remember you grabbing them for me. I remember everything about this set.
Yeah, I still remember the guy bringing the box out. And you know how you get when somebody brings a full case of figures out. You're like, yep. Oh, man, that excitement just starts to build up. And then he ripped open the tape, man. And I was like, I'll just take the box. I'm going right to the register. Thanks, dude.
That's like me when we went to Walmart this past Saturday or Sunday. They had some pallets out and they had boxes lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Mattel's logo. I couldn't see what the side of the box was. So I went charging up to the pallet just to see. And it was like a Mattel Barbie or something like that. And I turned to the editor. I was like, you've never seen me tackle a pallet. And she goes, what do you mean? I was like, whenever there's a pallet and it says WWF figures or sorry, WWE figures or what, I said, we rip that pallet apart. If it's shrink wrap, we're cutting the shrink wrap. If it's you know, on the very bottom, we're moving the boxes on top.
Yeah, we're normally very well mannered, but when it's a WWE case, it doesn't matter who or what is in our way. We're cutting through it to get to the case.
We used to do the same thing for starting lineups too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you remember we missed the very first Shaq figure at Dublin Toys R Us?
Yes.
And we missed it by a few hours. And apparently the last Shaq figure was fought over. Like there was a fist fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Punches were thrown over a toy.
Yeah. This worker was telling us about it.
Yep. Not the first time. Not the last time.
And we're like, oh, do you have Shaq? And she's like, no, here's what happened. And she's telling us about how there was a fist fight over the last Shaq figure. I was all, that's metal.
Yeah, right. Fighting over toys, that is so metal.
So, Scott, are you ready for your surprise question?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I love the power of positivity that you have just brought to this podcast.
Did you feel the enthuse coming through the microphone there?
The power of positivity. The pop. You brought the pop, dude.
It's a new day.
Yes, it is. Let's get to your question. All right, Scott, your surprise question. I think you'll have fun with this one. Since in a few days, or today, whenever you do listen to this, or in this past weekend, since it was Survivor Series, I would like you to say, what is the team you thought was the best Survivor Series team as far as power and just like ultimate greatness, and the team you were like, what the hell?
Oh, dude, that's a good question. I think the team that was probably the best one ever was DX and the Hardys and CM Punk.
You were reading my mind.
Did I take yours? I'm sorry.
No, that one was up there. I was debating all day about this. I didn't know what team I would choose. That was a great team.
Yeah, and they all survived.
Yes.
They all survived. So, dude, that's like at least one of the greatest tag teams of all time, paired with one of the greatest factions of all time. Paired with one of the greatest superstars of all time.
Yep.
That, I don't know how you argue against that one.
Don't think you can.
No, that has to be the best tag or the best Survivor Series team of all time.
I don't know. Hogan had some really good ones. I like the tag team ones back in the day.
I do too. Specifically, like the 88 one.
Yeah,
because was so great.
Because the 88 one had. For the good guys, it had the Bulldogs.
Yeah, the Bulldogs, the Hearts, the Killer Bees.
That was a good team.
Yes. Oh, Powers of Pain was on that one because that was the famous double turn.
Yep.
So, yeah, I just got a side with DX and the Hardys and CM Punk.
So what do you think is the worst team ever?
So my worst team, I'm going to have to say, was the Men on a Mission and Bushwhackers. Dressed as doinks. Ugh. Ugh.
That's just ugh.
Gross.
Ugh.
Yeah, with a side of ugh. Just gnarly. You compare it to the DX and Hardys and CM Punk team and you're like, wow. Night and day.
Before we podcast, I was kind of preparing for your surprise question.
Lucky.
I found one team that I think is the worst ever. And they actually won their match. Fake Razor, Fake Diesel, Farouk with the armored headdress thing and blue thing.
Oh God, that outfit was bad.
And Vader. Now Vader is the only thing making that team like relevant. But oh my God, Fake Razor and Fake Diesel. Are you serious?
Oh, dude, I don't even remember them being on a Survivor Series team.
It was Survivor Series 96.
Oh, that is brutal. See, I remember Survivor Series 96 for being when Sid defeated Shawn Michaels for the world title.
Do you remember when Sid won? The crowd went crazy, like happy that Shawn lost?
Yeah, he needed to distance himself from Lothario.
Yeah, he really did.
That wasn't needed in that whole thing. And yeah. And that was at MSG, and the crowd let him hear it. Man, if you can count on honesty from any crowd, If it's not Chicago, it's MSG.
Yep. I also remember it being Bret and Austin's first match.
Yes, exactly right.
Of course, Bret Hart.
Yeah, of course.
Why? Because Bret Hart.
And The Rock debuted at that as well.
He did. He came out that smiling baby face and...
Yep. Little did they know, 20 years later, he would be the sexiest man alive.
What?
Well, I didn't say so. People did.
Random people?
No, People Magazine, dude.
Oh!
You know, it's this periodical that comes out once a month. Oh. Been around for like 100 years.
I just heard people and I'm like, okay, who are these people you're speaking to?
Okay, well, let me bring you up to speed, dude. There's this magazine called People. It's been around for a long time. Comes out once a month. You can find it on your newsstand. And once a year, they do The Sexiest Man Alive.
Oh.
And this year was The Rock.
Oh.
The previous 17 years, it was me. But The Rock finally unseated me from my position of Sexiest Man Alive. And if, you know, if somebody's got to do it, it's got to be The Rock. He's going to be our next president, so... You know, give the man his due.
I only know WWF magazine, so I don't know this People one. Although I haven't been able to, I haven't been able to find WWF for a while. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's almost like they discontinued it or something.
So Scott, we're going to skip the signing story this week. Why? Because we can.
It's what we do.
Yeah,
we make decisions on the fly like this.
Yeah. So we'll go back to who did it better because, frankly, we really like this segment.
Yes, we do.
So what do you say we get into who did it better?
That sounds like a glorious idea. Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm
victorious. And I will defend. I will defend. Scott, as mentioned before, we are going to do who did it better. And this week we are going to pick a man that you have gotten many of autographs from. Someone you have dropped lots of dollars at his table, his merch table.
Yeah, and the last time I saw him, I could not wait to get a picture with him.
Yes, exactly. This week we're going to do Virgil. Well, yes.
Well, we're going to talk about Virgil.
We're going to talk about Virgil and his figures that he's had. He has had Hasbro, and he has had and he's had Jax.
Yep.
Just kidding, fans. We swerved you too. We are not going to be doing Virgil or talking about Virgil figures.
I truly hope that nobody was like, dude, screw this podcast and turn it off right before.
Oh, dude, we would.
You revealed the swerve.
Our listenership would drop right there, dude.
Yeah, these guys are talking about who did the best Virgil. I'm done.
Just like what he did to WWF and WCW ratings, it would have dropped.
Yes. Yes.
Just kidding, fans. We are not doing or talking about Virgil. We are going to discuss Ultimate Warrior this week.
Good choice.
Scott, I decided to go rogue again and sent you an email this past week and I said, what do you think on who did it better? We discuss Ultimate Warrior. And you seemed very enthused about that one.
Yes, you could sense my enthuse coming through on the email reply when I emphatically said, yes, great decision.
I did, actually. It actually blew me back against the wall. I was like, whoa, Scott was really excited about that.
I was like those really powerful speakers that blow that guy across the room in the chair. That was my enthuse coming through on Ultimate Warrior being the topic this week.
So Scott, Ultimate Warriors had LJN.
Yep.
Numerous Hasbros.
Yes.
Numerous Jacks.
Yes.
And numerous Mattels.
Yep. Did not have a Toy Biz figure, curiously, because he did show up in WCW during the height of the Toy Biz line.
Exactly, exactly. So, as tradition with these figures, LJN, he had the orange tights, face makeup. He was kind of in a lariat pose.
Yeah, like a body slam pose.
In his Hasbro, he had three figures. He had the white trunks.
Mm-hmm.
He had the purple trunks.
Yep.
And he had the green trunks.
The green.
Where mm-hmm. he was in the springing action, right?
Yes.
Where we've complained so many times about the springing action.
Yes. Our least favorite pose in the Hasbro line.
With Jax, he had quite a few. He had the Series 2 basic bone crunching action, BCA.
Yes, he did have a BCA figure, and then from there we really... Oh, and then he was also in a four-pack, I believe, or a three-pack.
Correct.
And that was pretty much it.
Until Jax Classic Series 1.
Correct.
He also had Unmatched Fury, and I'll get into that one in a sec. Through Mattel, he's had quite a few figures. Almost a huge saturation of Warrior figures, but they've all been pretty good, I've got to say.
Yeah, Mattel has done a really, really good job with Warrior. There's not one in the Mattel line that I can complain against.
Correct.
Really, aside from the springy action Ultimate Warrior, and even the bone crunching one was one of Jack's finest up to that point. Granted, it was only in Series 2, but I think that was the best bone cruncher that had come out.
That up until then, yeah, absolutely.
Up until Series 2, yeah, that was one of my favorite bone crunchers. Really, I think the Green Trunk Ultimate Warrior springy guy is probably my least favorite.
Okay, we got your least favorite out of the way, because yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. That one was... It captured Warrior, but I don't know, it was the pose. It's just something else about it that is just kind of like, meh, okay.
And I understand why they put that gimmick mechanism on him, is because he did the body splash in the ring. The face was captured perfectly. It was the first Ultimate Warrior that they did, so of course we were going to purchase it. But it just missed with me, and it's probably my least favorite, mostly because of that body spring action. I just hated that one. I still do. It's my least favorite in all of the Hasbros. So that one's probably my least favorite. I'm going to have to say my favorite is the Defining Moments WrestleMania 7.
That's your favorite?
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one, and it's followed extremely closely by the LJN Ultimate Warrior.
I have a rough time trying to pick one because I do love the Defining Moment. I love the LJN. I absolutely love the Unmatched Fury, but there was one thing wrong with the Unmatched Fury. He was in his One Warrior Nation tights.
Yeah.
That was a no-no in my opinion.
And yeah, that was a miss.
Everything about that figure was spot on. The pose that he was in, shaking the ropes... I love the figure. It's just the tights that threw it off. So, if I had to choose one that I really, really loved, and as much as I love the Defining Moment in the LJN, my favorite is the Purple Trunks Hasbro, where you mash his feet down and his arms would start flailing.
That one is awesome.
Absolutely loved that figure. And I'm going to go on record right now, episode 44, Reggie Jackson's number, again.
It's official?
It's on the board. Put it on the board. That is my favorite Warrior.
Okay. That is an excellent Warrior. I think out of all the Hasbros, that's the best one. And it's hard for me to really narrow it down, but you and I have talked extensively about Defining Moments figures and what does or does not make a Defining Moment figure. And obviously, I've mentioned that one in the Macho Man that came out almost at the same time, that those are the epitomes of what a Defining Moments figure is. And that figure is so well done.
Mm-hmm.
They just captured that WrestleMania 7 Macho Man perfectly.
Yep.
And I just can't vote against it. It's up there. If it wasn't for him, LJN Ultimate Warrior definitely would be my favorite. I played with that LJN Ultimate Warrior literally until the paint started to come off. Man, that thing body splashed like my entire line of LJNs numerous times. But that Defining Moments Warrior is just so perfect. They captured him so well. That's definitely my favorite Warrior figure.
The LJN was so good, man. I remember playing with that thing numerous, numerous times, man. I think it was booked on every fake show I had going on, dude.
Well, that figure came out in 89. Which was kind of the height of Warrior's fame. And, well, technically, I guess that came in 90 when he won the world title. But he was in his IC title run. He was on every single Saturday. He was on every pay-per-view. Right at the top of the card. And the dude was in his heyday, and he had an action figure. And he looked like a superhero. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That wraps up episode 44. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, Fully Posable. Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. We want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe out there. Remember, if you are going Black Friday shopping, be safe. Don't get into fights over a $3 shovel.
No, but do fight over wrestling figures. That is completely acceptable. Videos posted on our Twitter, please.
Yeah, if you see somebody fighting over a zombie figure, please post that for comedic relief.
That would be excellent. And before we depart, you know, we should mention something pretty big that happened on Monday night. A certain someone wearing a certain something in the front row at a certain show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we want to thank Brandon, and this was kind of a mind-blown moment. Seeing a t-shirt that we came up with sitting in the front row, Brandon Haliva was wearing the hashtag Fig Life t-shirt all night. You could see him just a tad bit to the left of the hard camera. It was awesome and mind-blown just seeing a shirt that, well, you told somebody to create it for you, but...
Yeah, but it came from your mind.
Yeah, something came from your mind. Sitting in the front row, that was just a surreal moment.
And there's a great picture that we posted up on our Twitter too, of Brandon sitting front row, Roman walking down with the US title, and Brandon is just standing there in his Fig Life shirt. It looks amazing. It's awesome. Brandon, we cannot thank you enough, A, for buying the shirt, B, for repping it front row at Raw. Dude, we love you. That is freaking awesome. You made our household so happy on Monday night. My wife was on like cloud 9, dude. She was so excited. She couldn't get over how cool that was. Dude, thank you so much. You rock. And just thanks for bringing it for the Fig Life community. That was just great.
Absolutely, man. That was a surreal moment, dude. even the editor popped. She was like, there he is. There he is. Like she was like yelling it and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, kudos enough for getting front row tickets. But dude, then rocking a Fig Life shirt also in the front row? Come on.
Yep, absolutely.
That was great.
So thank you, Brandon. Also, we want to congratulate Brian Breaker on being over in New Japan in their World Tag League.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congrats, dude. That is freaking great. Good luck over there. Safe travels, and we hope you win.
Yeah, he's teaming up with Leland Race, Harley's kid. So, you know, good luck to them over there. I know tonight, I believe, as we record, this is Thursday, he's facing Takahashi and Hangman Page. So
nice. Well, if you don't win, hopefully you score some killer wrestling figures.
So again, happy Thanksgiving to all. Be safe. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Enjoy your Turkey Day. Scott, for episode 44. Oh, by the way, you can also buy the hashtag Fig Life t-shirt for $25.
Be cool like Brandon.
Be cool like Brandon. $25 free shipping. Scott, for episode 44, with all that said, anything else you'd like to add?
Happy Thanksgiving and happy toy hunting.
Happy Thanksgiving. Hashtag Fig Life. Buy the shirt. Adios.